user. Everyone in her group.
The Vindicator, history reported daily.
Hey, Mahoney Valley sports fans, welcome to Vindy Sports Live. It's a two-man crew here today. Brian Zenis, I'm here with the esteemed Vindicator sports editor, Ed Puskas. Ed, we might not be holding our titles for much longer.
Yeah, it appears that way. We're going on pretty much exactly a week since we got the news that August 31st edition will be the last of the Vindicator. I think we're, at least I can speak for myself, I'm still kind of processing everything.
Yeah, I think for me, there was like the initial like panic and anguish that Friday. And now it's like, okay, I have to figure out what's next and everything. And I think it's probably going to hit me like when, we get to the first Friday where we're not covering games or, I think ahead about like the next state wrestling tournament, the next state track tournament, and, I might not be a part of it.
I think just it's just something we have to make the best of. We'll still do our jobs, and Vindy Sports Live is not going anywhere.
We're going to be here each normally it's Thursday, but today we're doing it on Friday because of the holiday. We're planning on being here for the duration, the next couple of months. And I am told that we will be doing some high school football preview stuff. So we can look forward to that, business as usual. And I think that's really kind of what I found interesting about this whole thing. We went from those meetings, got that news, and then we pretty much do what we always do, which is start putting together the news. And there wasn't a whole lot of time to sit down and really think about things.
And I'll give this place some credit for giving us, 2 months, notice. I mean, there's newspapers all over the country, and I saw, this past week, a newspaper in Texas. I forget what it's called, but it's the hometown where Andy Dalton grew up.
Katy, Texas.
Their paper's closing, and I think those employees only have 2 weeks to move on. So 2 months. We do what we got to do here. This whole week, though, it's been weird seeing your place of work being the subject of think pieces in the Washington Post, and people tweet at you and stuff. I mean, Ed, what kind of things have you seen this week?
99.9% of what I saw, what I read, was very positive in terms of the emotional feedback, from different people on Twitter, on Facebook. My phone was exploding, that Friday afternoon and evening with texts and calls and everything from people. And I think, for people who were not in this newsroom, it was easier for them to kind of get a sense of that incredible loss that's coming, because they're readers. We're like in the middle of it, in the eye of the hurricane, if you will. And like we just talked about, there wasn't a lot of time, and there still hasn't been, for us to kind of deal with it, And like you said, though, at some point we have to kind of think about what's next.
Yeah, I've been appreciative, to the kind words, from everybody that's reached out, and even the people sending job leads. Send me job leads. I will pretty much go anywhere and do anything at this point. I don't think I'm at a point where I can be a snob about where my next job is.
We'll work, we'll write, we'll edit, take video for food.
I will give you all of the hot takes and some cold ones too, if you're into that.
That Cleveland Browns 2017 highlight film that showed up in my Twitter timeline today was a cold one.
You got zinged. You got zinged. And you know what? The clip you posted was just as cold. For a little bit of background from the readers, Ed likes to dump on soccer. And just the way you worded it with, some soccer fans might find this offensive, but I find this funny. And it's that classic Simpsons clip where the Simpsons family takes in soccer and the game's boring and they just pass back and forth. And
And then eventually the entire town riots.
Yes, and the entire town riots, and I responded with the same phrasing, just swapped soccer for football and showed highlights from the Browns' 0-16 season. It was a, you served up a fastball in the middle of the plate, and I was just like, I'm not one to troll or even at people on Twitter, but I was just like, I can't not do this. And on that, on a happier note, we will slide into our second segment. Kyle, commercial.
Vindicator. History reported daily.
I'm Brian Zenis giving you guys a Vindy Sports Live sidebar. This week marks the anniversary of, you know, kind of one of the more sadder events in sports. On Tuesday, it marks the anniversary of the death of Colombian soccer player Andres Escobar. He was killed after giving up an own goal in the 1994 World Cup during a 2-1 loss to the United States. It knocked his team out of the World Cup. Subsequently, short time later, he was shot and killed in his home nation of Colombia. It sticks out to me because, you know, if you remember the 30 for 30 series on ESPN, it's probably one of the more, you know, memorable shows out there. I recommend, you know, checking that out on your own time. I'm struck by the quote he gave after he gave up that own goal in that loss. Life doesn't end here. We have to go on. Life cannot end here. No matter how difficult, we must stand back up. Kind of a poignant thing to think about, you know, given what's been going on in the Mahoning Valley the past few days. And just been kind of thinking about that. This has been a Vindy Sports Live sidebar from me, Brian Zenis.
Vindy Wheels, redesigned for print, online, and mobile with thousands of local rides. It's a no-pressure way to find your next vehicle or to sell your old one. At home or on the road, it's all local all the time. VindyWheels.com.
Need cash? Place a garage sale ad in the Vindicator. Get a free garage sale kit when you call Classifieds now. 330-746-6565, option 4, or email classifieds@vindy.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Vindy Sports Live. I'm Brian Zenis here with Ed Puskas. We are coming off the 4th of July day to reflect and think about America. Ed, what did you do for 4th of July?
I, as previously mentioned, I did some work on the old resume and I also binged on Stranger Things 3.
Okay. I went to a Pittsburgh Pirates game. They lost 11-3 to the Cubs.
Because you didn't tip the sax man.
I did not tip the sax man. I don't want to dump on the guy too hard, but, you know, I am not a fan of his. I find him to be very rude and not deserving of my money. But, yeah, I did that, and I had family in town, and they were gracious enough to... my uncle came in and gave me some New Jersey bagels. Bagels from the state of New Jersey. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know what my future holds for me, but I know if I leave Youngstown, I will not miss this area's lack of quality bagels. Did that, took in the fireworks. It was very muggy, got chewed on by bugs, but, you know, it was all in all a good time. On the subject of America, we can keep celebrating America because on Sunday, the women's U.S. World Cup soccer team, they're facing the Netherlands in the final. I feel like the way I've approached this women's team, you know, in previous years is usually these last few games are the ones that are worth watching. You know, I jumped in at the semifinal round, and, you know, I'll watch the final on Sunday. Ed, where are you at with this team?
You know, they're an interesting group because, you know, all they do is win, and they don't always win nicely. So they've gotten a lot of criticism for that with the whole you know, teacup thing and the 13-0 game. And, you know, I don't mind those antics. I really don't. You know, one of my best friends, you know, I've known him for 35 years. We started out in the business together. He's rooting against the USA.
Oof.
In the title game. He's rooting for the Netherlands because he's a globalist. And he thinks the U.S. always wins everything, and it's time for a smaller country to, you know, savor the flavor.
You know, I'm not, like, the biggest, like, rah-rah America dude, but I will go all in for the U.S.
Yeah,
teams.
I want
Team USA to win no matter what. I mean, really the only thing I have a problem with them is with the Thailand game where they were celebrating when it's like 9-0. Like, but other than that,
there is something to be said. You know, some of those goals when it was 9-0, and you're running around like you just, you know, hit a walk-off home run in the seventh game of the World Series. Something to be said for act like you've been there before. When you score a touchdown, hand the ball to the official and go back to the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, like, and also, like, one of the, I guess, kind of theories that's coming out of this tournament is, you know, this might be the last tournament where the U.S. is so dominant. One of the other storylines is how the, you know, the other European teams have, you know, improved and become a lot better. Italy was a good example after, you know, not being in the World Cup for a while to getting into the knockout rounds. If they can continue to kind of tap into their existing infrastructure, you know, I wonder if the U.S. women's team will sort of hit the same development walls that the men's team does, you know, where, you know, they're not pulling talent and stuff like that now, but right now, I think we can enjoy the ride with this group.
Yeah, you know what? I think that, you know, I would be stunned if that game went any way but the USA's way. You know, I just don't see the Netherlands pulling off the upset after all this. And you know, I would have a hard time rooting for anyone but the United States.
Yeah. A lot of people keep on going with America. We can't have shoes now with the Betsy Ross flag on them. Just to, like, briefly summarize before we get into the commentary part, Nike was going to put out a shoe with the Betsy Ross flag on it. Colin Kaepernick complained, saying it's a flag from the era where slaves were owned and white supremacist groups co-opted the flag, which the latter part, I had no idea that was a thing. And I feel like it's now even a bigger thing because now there's so much attention around it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm a little surprised that Nike has so much invested in a shoe line that one guy, even though it's their guy,
yeah,
can make a comment and all of a sudden that shoe line is gone. But you know what? That feeling's out there. I made a joke on Twitter the other day about the Betsy Ross. It was, you know, the theme song from the television show Maude going back to the 70s. There's a line in it, and it said, and Betsy Ross got it all sewed up. And I made a line about how I was offended by that, and, you know, Maude should never be shown again, and et cetera, et cetera. And I had one person, you know, jump on me for that, but everyone else thought it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, like, at what point do we decide, you know, when are we going to let, like, small groups of extremists decide what things mean and don't mean? Like, can't the Betsy Ross flag, okay, I get the slavery part about it, but, like, if you want a historical representation of flag wearer, that should be okay. Like, you can't let, like, just white supremacists claim stuff and then just decide it's their thing and it can't go away forever.
Yeah, is there nothing that can't be politicized anymore? I mean, tennis shoes are now political.
Yeah.
You know, because of, you know, a flag insignia on them or whatever. And I'm personally weary of everything being politicized.
I also, like, if I get Colin Kaepernick's somebody that Nike endorses, but, you know, he had the whole kneeling thing, and, you know, we've gone over that in previous years, and it's been talked about to death, but, like, he had his lawsuit against the NFL, and he's settled. He took their money at the end of the day. So it's like, how genuine is this, you know, I'm going to make go for X cause or whatever?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because, you know, he, like you said, he took the money, you know, and you know, really, since that happened, you hadn't heard a whole lot from him until this week. And so, you know, I think, you know, Nike's obviously got a lot of money invested in Colin Kaepernick, but they've also got a lot of money invested in this line of shoes. You know, I think another thing that's interesting to note in this story is that No one seems to have a problem with those shoes being made for 29 cents an hour by some poor kid, you know, in some third world country where Nike doesn't have to pay them a lot of money. And you know, they're practically slaves to making shoes.
And people are tweeting about it with phones that are made by, you know, people in Chinese factories where they have to have nets around the roof so people don't jump. Probably the only, like, I guess, good thing to come out of it is I enjoyed Donald Trump Jr.'s tweet about it, where he had the picture of a Nike shoe with the hammer and sickle on it. And I will say, you know, I'm not a fan of, you know, the Soviet Union or whatever, but those sneakers were pretty, those are pretty cool looking.
You know, I thought the original, the Betsy Ross design, was a good looking shoe. I mean, I just wish we could maybe turn back the clock a little bit to a point where people could have different views and different politics and still coexist.
Or you could live by the philosophy, if you don't like something, don't buy it.
Precisely.
Yep. And with that, we will take a little bit of a break and we will head into our third segment.
In the market to buy, sell, or rent a home? Check out Vindy Homes every Sunday in the Vindicator on Vindy.com or mobile. Every week, you'll find local feature homes for sale and the best area real estate listings, weekly real estate transactions, remodeling tips, apartment directories, and more. Pick up your copy of Vindy Homes this week. Log on to Vindy.com or call 330-746-6561 to subscribe today. 330-746-6561.
Need a job? Looking for employees? Visit the number one website for local jobs, VindyJobs.com. With automated search alerts, resume building tools, social media integrations, and mobile access, it's easy to find the right job or employee with VindyJobs.com.
Leisure. Everyone in her group.
The Vindicator. History reported daily.
Hey guys, welcome back to Vindy Sports Live. I'm Brian Zenis here with Ed Puskas. Losing a lot of things these past 7 days. Kind of sad to learn about the passing of a former Kentucky quarterback, Jared Lorenzen. He is a guy who I feel like has lived on in football legend because, you know, he was like 300 pounds, left-handed, and can throw a football like nobody's business.
The hefty lefty.
Absolutely.
The Pillsbury throw boy.
He apparently didn't like any of the nicknames.
I think you want to be known for something other than a quirky, you know, nickname. And certainly he had the numbers. I mean, the guy could play.
Yeah, he had over 10,000, you know, career passing yards. He is still Kentucky's all-time leading passer. You know, he played for several years with the New York Giants, didn't start. I frankly think he should have started some games over Eli Manning, but that's neither here nor there. Kind of an eerie thing, I think a few years ago, there was a documentary that came out about Lorenzen's life. You know, he wasn't just, you know, big because he ate a lot. Like, apparently he had some sort of health issue where, you know, he gained a lot of weight. And after he got out of the NFL, he tried to play some arena football, and he was so heavy that, you know, he snapped his femur out there, and then his weight got up to, you know, 600 pounds when he wasn't,
oh my,
you know,
gosh,
he couldn't move. Yeah,
I had no idea.
He like completely ballooned and then had to like go on some crazy diet, and you know, he got his weight down to like 500 pounds, but it was, you know, wearing down on his heart and his kidneys and, you know, other organs. And I believe, you know, his cause of death is, you know, complications of heart issues and his kidneys.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, he was only 38 years old, which is way too young. I mean, you know, any age, depending on your perspective, is way too young. But I'll tell you, there was one guy who passed away this week who lived a good long life, and that is Artie Johnson from television's Laugh-In.
Ed, who is Artie Johnson?
In an upcoming episode of Vindy Sports Live, the subtitle is going to be Things Brian Doesn't Know. And one of those things was Artie Johnson. from Laugh-In, a comedian. He had a very popular catchphrase, very interesting.
I never heard that before in my life. If you would have asked me who Artie Johnson was, I would have guessed, you know, football player from the 70s. I would have guessed
defensive back for the Oakland Raiders.
Yes, I would have guessed he was a member of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I would have guessed he was in some sort of motion picture vehicle with Gilbert Gottfried. You know, all those options before I would have gotten into Laugh-In.
Rowan and Martin?
What is that?
They were, it was Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. They were like the quasi hosts.
Was it like a talk show or a variety?
It was a comedy skit show. Kind of like a Saturday Night Live, only in prime time. Goldie Hawn was in it.
Okay.
Ruth Buzzy.
I don't know who that is.
None of these are drawn a...
I've heard of the name Goldie Hawn. Was she in Charlie's Angels?
No, she was not in Charlie's Angels.
Okay. what was the other one? Ruth Buzzy?
Ruth Buzzy.
Ruth Buzzy came after Betsy Ross.
Well, yes, some years
okay.
After Betsy Ross.
That's
yes.
Accurate. Those
yeah,
are
that
real
is
facts.
Not that is not totally inaccurate.
Okay. that said, who was she?
She was one of the members of the cast. She was in this skit where she played this older lady who would inexplicably just hit people with her purse.
Ah, so she's the inspiration for Jalapena Hannah at the Pittsburgh Pirate games and the pierogi races. You know, they have the racing pierogies, which I learned at the game yesterday. They, you know, they've expanded. There used to be just 4 racing pierogies. Now there's 6 of them.
Really?
Yeah. And Jalapena Hannah is the lone female pierogi. She wears a green hat, you know, for jalapeno peppers. And she has a purse. And, you know, hijinks ensue.
Well, you know, one thing that happened last week was in the realm of death was the passing of Tyler Skaggs. Los Angeles Angels pitcher, you know, just a horrible thing. I mean, the guy's 27 years old. You know, they canceled the game. I heard a lot of people say they should have played on. You know, they should have canceled more games. You know, there's no easy answer.
There's like 162 baseball games. 162 baseball games. Like, if you cancel one, it's like not the end of the world. Like, you gotta give people a day to rest. And I think just like the sudden nature of it too, like, makes it even more horrible.
Yeah, it reminded me of there was an Angels relief pitcher who died in a car accident a few years back. And then there was a St. Louis pitcher who was found dead in a hotel room under much the same circumstances. Just a tragic thing. And for me, it took me back to when I was a kid. And the only New York Yankee I think I ever liked, Thurman Munson.
Yeah.
Who was another thing Brian didn't know.
Yeah. Should we go with what my guess for Thurman Munson was?
I'm not sure I remember.
I think he was a football player and a running back.
For the Buffalo Bills?
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, Thurman Munson was from this area, from northeastern Ohio, was practicing touch-and-go landings at the Canton Airport, and plane crashed, and I believe, without getting too graphic, that he may have survived the initial impact and couldn't get out of the plane before the flames overtook the aircraft. So just a real tragic situation. I always wanted Thurman Munson to get traded to the Indians because he was like the one Yankee. Well, I also like Bobby Mercer. But those two guys, and I'll never forget, Mercer gave one of the eulogies at Munson's funeral. It was very emotional and just a sad situation.
Yeah. Well, we'll try to end this show on a light note. I'm going to hit you with something you don't know about. Have you heard of this three-hour reviewing of an instant replay?
No.
Okay, so we're going to travel into the world of Formula One auto racing. I happened to catch this because of my job and the hours I work, I tend to watch a lot of sports early in the morning, and Formula One was one of the things going on. It was the Austrian Grand Prix. It's the final 10.
My favorite Grand Prix.
Yeah, it was a great race, actually, you know, before we get into the craziness of it. But it's the final 10 laps. They got this one feller in a Ferrari, another guy in an Aston Martin. The Aston Martin's chasing the Red Bull. This guy has like a 4-second gap. He's slowly making up ground. He's catching the Ferrari. And 3 laps to go, Aston Martin accelerates, takes like this inside part of a turn. I'm going to like draw a picture. It was like this. It was like one of these kinds of turns. Aston Martin's going like this. Ferrari's on the outside. Ferrari tries to close the door, but Aston Martin goes through. I'm going to put this up for the camera with my crappy drawings, but whatever. Anyway, Aston Martin makes the pass, and they smack tires. The Ferrari guy goes off the road a little bit, but the Aston Martin's passed him, and Aston Martin ends up winning the race. I kid you not, it took the FIA, the people that run this race, 3 hours to confirm that the move was legit and that Aston Martin could win the race. In the meantime, they had the podium ceremony, so they give the guys the champagne up on the podium or whatever, and it's just like kind of half-hearted because everyone's kind of like, what the heck is going on? I turned it off because I'm just like, you know what, I'm sure I will see it on Twitter, you know, however long it takes them to adjudicate this, but I see this incident happen and I, you know, weep for sports in general. I think this is what nobody had in mind when instant replay came into the fold.
Yeah, I will never complain about an NFL review or a Major League Baseball review ever again.
Yeah, it was, I think the new rule should be, and I think this should be universal with all sports replays, if you can't sort out what happened in 2 minutes, the original call should stand.
Agreed. Or, you know, they can do what Major League Baseball does. And I think of the two, the NFL and baseball, the NFL is quicker about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these NFL things they drag on too. Not 3 hours, but my goodness, that's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do if there was, you know, a Browns game and, you know, you had to wait 3 hours to hear the outcome of a call?
Well, considering I've waited about 20 years for a winning team, I think I probably could handle it, but let's not.
Okay, and with that, we will bid the Mahoning Valley adieu for today. I'm Brian Zenis here with Ed Puskas.
Until next week.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.